FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and been hearing a lot about drones in the news recently. Near misses with airplanes, people shooting them out of the sky, whether they're going into your backyard or up to your bedroom window, recording things that you would better left unsaid and unvisualized. And a lot of misinformation, a lot of misperceptions exist in the general realm of knowledge of what drones are, what they can do, and are they really a threat to you? And person you're about to hear from, somebody I've known for quite some time, he heads up a website called dronelife.com, which really is your go-to place to find out what's going on in the drone arena. And Alan, you've done a lot of different businesses, but you're doing drones now. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Kerry, for being here. I'm excited to share with your listeners the emergence of this new market opportunity that we sort of believe is the new revolution of technology in the United States.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. I was watching a show the other night that I like to watch regularly called Gold Rush. And these guys are up in the Klondike, and they're trying to explore a prospect for gold. And the kid is like 20. He brings a drone with him, and they start looking all around them at the virgin land to find the best place where they could dig for gold. And of course, it didn't work out the way they wanted. The land turned out not to have any gold. But the concept of using it for that purpose never really dawned on me before. And I said, hey, we gotta get the lowdown on drones, because this thing is really exploding. Now, we used to have radio control airplanes when we were kids, and you could theoretically put a camera on them. But this whole area of drones now is for personal use or business use, totally different than that. It's gone way beyond, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly has. So today, drones are really aerial robots. Controlled through your tablet or your smartphone with a set of rules relative to where to fly, what to do at particular waypoints, when to come back, as well as the introduction of dynamic geofences. So the concept that a drone will be limited to the airspace in which it may fly based upon current events. Should that be a baseball game at Fenway Park or a parade over your local Main Street, there will be restrictions on how and when these devices can fly.
Yeah, and obviously what's available for the civilian market is not an armed drone, it's unarmed. But you can have, tell us, Alan, so you control it with a tablet, smartphone. It has cameras on it, correct? So you can monitor where it is in real time?
Absolutely. So it has cameras, but ultimately, as you probably are well aware because of the promotion today by Amazon, there'll also be delivery drones, which have the ability to have a payload that can be delivered to a particular location at a particular altitude. And so the opportunities extend quickly in the applications of both civilian and commercial drones. We focus, again, in the non-militarized, non-weaponized drone space.
Right. And the drones that are available now to you, the general public, what's their cost, Alan?
So I should tell you that there are really three major manufacturers. New manufacturers are being coming out each day through some large venture funding activity over the last quarter. But the players today are DJI, a Chinese company, a Parrot, a French company, and 3DR, a U.S.-based company with manufacturing facilities in Mexico. So they probably, in this holiday season, they'll represent somewhere around 90% of all drones that are purchased. And today's drones range from those three manufacturers from $500 to $2,000, depending upon capabilities. But today, for $600, you can purchased a drone that has a 4K camera that can be controlled through a set of programming steps on waypoints and activity that is focused on coming back to a given GPS location should battery life be waning, and that that has dynamic geofencing capabilities. So it's sort of Moore's law for technology being applied to drones, and that every year the price of the drone is cut in half and the functionality is doubled.
That's remarkable. And how high can these drones go, and how fast do they go?
Well, the drones that from those three manufacturers can really go up to about a half a mile. Yet the FAA restricts flights to 400 feet today, and no closer and no closer than 5 miles of a commercial airport. But typically, for data collection, 400 feet provides a robust aerial a picture of the ground below.
Oh. What about these reports you get of you're in your house and you open up the blinds and there's a drone looking in your house? I mean, how much does that really happen here, Alan?
It probably doesn't happen very often. And first and foremost, every state in the nation has privacy laws, and drones would fit into those privacy laws either directly or indirectly. And so I don't think that's a major consideration, in that someone can walk up to your house today and peek in the window, and that too would be a violation of privacy laws.
Yeah, but just the drone flying over your property, that's perfectly legal, isn't it?
It is. And so there will certainly be, there is current discussion at the state and federal law about drone highways. And NASA, we actually did a piece, an exclusive piece with the individual at NASA who is responsible for developing the drone highways of the future, relative to, you can almost imagine it as a virtual highway with east-west traffic going at this altitude and north-south traffic going at an alternative altitude, such that they are all communicating with one another as they approach mutual airspace.
Mm-hmm. So as far as danger to aviation, is it there? Because I've heard of drones having near misses with commercial airliners, that type of thing.
Certainly. And this, again, is primarily from the recreational enthusiast who is sort of learning as they go on the rules of the road. And the FAA has made great progress over the last 6 months in educating the newbie on the way of the drone world relative to what's acceptable and what isn't. I will say though that there's an analogy to be drawn, and that is of the introduction of the automobile and the risks posed by the automobile. In that, as the automobile drove down Main Street, well, that disturbed the two horses at the post, and they started reacting, and you get a lot of issues here. I think there will be challenges from a legislation standpoint, and certainly a safety standpoint.
Yeah. Right?
But we should be applying laws as we need them, not in advance, so that we understand what needs to be in place. Mm-hmm. To provide safety in disguise.
Yeah. So it is a legitimate concern, though, that we really need to watch out for here, because the skies are congested. The more congested the area you're in, I would assume the more limitations you probably have, you know, for where you can fly and all of that.
Absolutely. You do not find commercial commercial airliners flying at 300 to 400 feet, unless they're in the process of landing and taking off. You do find low-flying helicopters over metropolitan areas, and that is a concern. And ultimately, we believe that these drones are likely to actually identify their location and communicate them to the FAA so that there can be avoidance systems designed. Many of the drone manufacturers are already working on avoidance systems today that would that would direct the drone to a safe location or force the drone to land should there be any obstacles that that have precedent over the drone.
So all these things really are being considered now. I guess they have to be, right?
They do, they do, and that my concern from an industry and growth standpoint and job creation standpoint is that we don't create a speed bump to the industry that's insurmountable, where other countries may grease the pathway to innovation and technology advancement in the drone space. We've been relatively behind as a country in embracing the emergence of drones and specifically commercial drones.
Yeah.
And I think that there's good momentum now at the FAA to start to put the right speed bumps and barriers in place to allow the industry to grow at the same time that we guarantee safety.
Yeah, but safety's always got to come first. Now, I heard they're starting to use drones in agriculture so that if you have a few hundred acres, you can see all of your crops because one area needs water, the other part of the farm might be drowning. And the only way you could previously do that is to actually physically go out and observe your farm. But now with drones, it's really raising agricultural productivity.
We're seeing drones being applied to a variety of industries, and certainly agriculture is at the forefront from a couple of different applications. One, as you mentioned, to be able to go over a field, crops. Use technology to identify areas that are underwatered, overwatered, that are ripe for picking, and to provide information that has never been available in a timely and cost-effective manner to the farmer. The other one, which is quite exciting, is planting. To actually allow for seed dropping at given intervals along rows and columns to expedite and to guarantee appropriate placement for the crops.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that you can actually seed from the sky. Is that going to become the prevalent way of planting for a lot of different crops?
Yeah, and when we say from the sky, we're probably talking 2 feet, two feet from the ground.
Wow.
That these flying robots given instructions to drop a seed at every 18 inches, every 24 inches along a particular row or column.
That's amazing. I mean, so what could be marginally profitable farms right now where the families, the romantic notion, the family's been struggling for decades to hold on to the family farm. If they've made it this far, the drone technology could really make this thing unbelievably profitable.
I think that's correct. I think that you're going to find many applications in agriculture for the use of these flying robots, and that the technology really exists today to be able to create great efficiencies in, as you suggest, the family farm.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the beauty is that food production presumably is going to go increase because your efficiency is increasing. You can plant at exactly the right moment. Labor. I guess it's just a matter of time until the drones can pick the crops as well, huh?
I think that's right, and I think there probably is a day when the drones are used in picking activity, whether it be for fruit on a tree or beans on a stalk.
That's just wild. So that's the most apparent one. What area are you most excited about, Alan?
Well, I think that the long term vision of delivery and for your listeners on Cyber Monday, Amazon released their latest edition of drone delivery videos to sort of get everyone's creative juices flowing on how ultimately you will be able to use these devices for almost instantaneous delivery of products that you order. And it is an exciting vision. It's probably 5 to 10 years off.
Yeah.
But 5 to 10 years goes quickly, as we know. But you'll see in industry the use of drones with reasonable payloads for applications over the next couple of years. You can imagine in Boston Harbor or any harbor in the world where deliveries need to be made to vessels that are sitting a mile or two out of the harbor. These drones will create great efficiency in delivering the required goods.
That's really amazing. You know, one thing I see happening for drones is actually monitoring your children when they're playing, right? Or they walk to school, and the drone is just up there watching them walk to school. I mean,
so I'm not sure that I share your view of the child monitoring drone. I think that you will certainly see many security applications, whether it be border control,
uh-huh,
or whether it be crowd control, or whether it be your local police department using it at a particular busy intersection to make sure that traffic is flowing as prescribed. But there's no question that even in today's world, there are cameras everywhere. You've got to believe that the future has cameras looking down on all activity, both which is scary from a privacy standpoint, but exciting from an efficiency and a reporting standpoint.
Yeah. Well, there's a need for it, unfortunately. It'll be great if we ever reach the point as a civilization where we don't need this kind of thing. But hey, as long as we need it and the ability to do it is there, then we need to be doing it for sure. So
the other area, Kerry, where there's application that both Facebook and Google are focused on is creating ad hoc networks in the sky. So for third world countries where they may not have internet infrastructure, in a matter of days, you could assemble a set of drones that create a network in the sky that the locals can easily connect to, and so we're excited about that, and we're excited because both Google and Facebook have invested millions of dollars into drone technology that will ultimately flow down to other applications beyond the ad hoc network.
Yeah, I guess there's also the application of areas where it's not safe for a human being to go in. You know, basically for that, you send a drone in, and, you know, things like nuclear power plant leaks or things like that where you need sensors. I mean, I guess the list is really endless, isn't it?
It is endless, from search and recovery, where on the side of a mountain you can't, you don't have the tools necessary to understand the current situation regarding a hiker who may have fallen off the side of the mountain, to a variety of other applications in security that where there wasn't efficiencies previously in getting real-time information.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, Alan, people want to find out more. They want to check out your website. Where do they go?
So dronelife.com is the leading news and information source for the emergence of the commercial drone ecosystem. But I should also mention we have another service called Job for Drones. And Job for Drones connects those businesses needing a drone service provider with a list of 400 drone service providers in the United States. So if the realtor needs an aerial photography to help market a million-dollar property, they can quickly find someone in that database that can come and provide those services.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, we didn't even talk about employment. Well, we'll save that for next time because it's really exciting, the number of employment opportunities that are going to exist in the drone industry. And as always, you will find a link to Drone Life in our show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Alan, want to thank you for coming on and helping to educate us about the emerging drone industry.
Thank you very much, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.